Today's daf in Masechet Brachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf nun bet. But we're actually starting the new perek, the eighth perek, Elo Devarim, and therefore we shall begin, Bezrat Hashem, on daf nun aleph omud beis. And we're holding right there at the Halakha Mishnah, and we can even get Doc to give us a font on the Halakha perek, because Richie's hiding. So, we've been talking about all of the dinim, essentially, of the organization, what we call Seder, inyonim of Hagdama, and the way that our behavior, in terms of relating to the brachas, relating to the food, relating to the people, all are based on a Seder of Kedima. What is it that we're supposed to do before whatever else? As we mentioned before, this is an indication of the centrality of every last aspect of our lives being part of an expression of the way that the world works, which, of course, is part of the nature of Emunah, and which brings us back to the connection to Ma'aseh Bereishis itself. Ala Seder, Sidrei Bereishis is what we refer to in terms of Ma'aseh Bereishis. Now, we finally get to the stage where we need to talk about the Seder of our Hanhaga itself. What is the organization of what we do at a meal? Which brachas do we make first? Which anhogas do we do first? And in this, we have numerous machlokas from Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and we're going to put them all together very briefly, and then in the Gemara, we're going to tease them apart to understand what the basis of the machlokas is in each one of these issues. So, Beit Shammai says, when it comes to Shabbos and Yontif, what do we do first? Do we say Kiddush? Or do we go ahead and say the Yayin? So Beit Shammai says, first you say Kiddush, you say Mekadosh HaShabbos, or you say Mekadosh Yisrael Vazmanim, then you Mevarach Al HaYayin. Beis Hillel says, you Mevarach Al HaYayin, and afterwards you say Kiddush, Mevarach Al HaYom. Machlok is number two. Beit Shammai says, first you do Netilas Yadayim, then you pour your cup of wine. Beit Hillel Omrim, no. You first go ahead and you make Kiddush, you're mosaic the kos, and then you're noitam liyadayim. Third machlokas. Beit Shammai omrim, mikaneach yadav b'mapa, u'minecha ala shulchan. You dry your hands after netilas yadayim, and you take that napkin to be able to have it available for wiping your hands during the meal, but you put it down, says Beit Shammai, on the table. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, do not put it on the table. Again, sounds very esoteric. We're going to be getting to what the meaning is of all of these machlokas. And Beit Hillel says, you put it on the keset. You're sitting on a cushion. That's where you put it. Beit Shammai says, fourth machlokas. Mechabdim et habayit, you first sweep the area where you're going to be doing mayim achronim, whether that's the table or the floor, depending where you ate. And only afterwards do you do mayim achronim. You do not get the crumbs wet. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, you wash Mayim Achronim, and then you can sweep off the crumbs. The fifth issue, and this is a question where you only have one cup of wine. And now it's Mitzray Shabbos. And the question is, you need your cup of wine both for Kiddush, both for Avdolah, and for Birkat HaMazon. So Beit Shammai says the organization would be that you say first Ner, then the Mazon, the Birkat HaMazon, then you say the Birchas HaBesamim, and then you say Avdalah. Whereas Beit Hillel says you first, we agree that you first say the Ner. Now, by the way, we're going to see that this is only one version of Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and that actually we come out with a different Machlokas than our Mishnah, as we'll see soon. So Ner first, then Besamim, then you say the Birkat HaMazon only after the Besamim, and then you say Havdalah. The sixth machlokas, what bracha do you say when you make a bracha over your Havdalah candle? Beit Shammai says the bracha is Shebara Me'or Ha'esh. There seem to be two issues over here. First of all, he does not say Borei Me'orei Ha'esh, the way we do Borei, and he does not say Me'orei, he says Me'or. Whereas Beit Hillel says Borei Me'orei Ha'esh, the way we do. Again, we'll see in the Gemara. Ein mevarchim, by the way, once we're talking about the Eish and the Besamim, you're not allowed to use a Ner or Besamim of Avdei Kochavim, or a Ner and Besamim of that was made in honor of the dead, because those are not meant for smell, those are meant for deodorant purposes, and the flame is meant for a memorial, but not for light. Because that is Osir Bahana'af, was made for a church. The Gemara will ask in what way this differs from the first opening din of Lo Alaner Al-Basamim Shalavik Kachovim. Furthermore, we don't say the bracha of Borei Me'orei Ha'esh until you did some type of benefit from the or itself. That's why we hold our hands first to the or briefly, make the bracha, and then utilize it. Mishachal v'shachach, additional machlokas. Somebody who eats and didn't say Birkat HaMazon. Beit Shammai says, you got to go all the way back to where you were and say Birkat HaMazon there. Whereas Beit Hillel says, you can say Birkat HaMazon where you are. V'ad matay mevorech, how long do you have to continue? I mean, obviously, if it's 2 days later, now I remember I didn't say Birkat HaMazon, I can't make the Birkat HaMazon, but what would be the shiur in which we still say that you can relate the Birkat HaMazon to the seudah that you have? The shiur is digestion. Ad k'dei sh'yitakel HaMazon sh'b'me'av, until such time that the food was digested. Now that, of course, is sort of an up-in-the-air kind of shiur. And halach l'maisa, what we do is, we say like this, if you had a full meal and you actually were satisfied at the end of the meal, please mute yourself, whoever that is on the phone. So if you had a full meal, so then the digestion is measured by your feelings of satiation. As long as you're not hungry again, we say that the food has not been digested, and therefore you can go ahead and you can make the Birkat HaMazon, even if it's 5 hours later. I'm not hungry, still feel full from my meal. If, however, you did not eat a full meal, so over there, basically, we obviously can't judge it by the question of how hungry you are. I was hungry even when I finished eating. All I had was like a little sandwich, you know. I was dying for more. I didn't have any more. But then the halacha is, according to most achronim, that we talk about the Kedei Hiluch Arba, the 72-minute shiur that everybody talks about as if that's some kind of, you know, absolutely muskam thing. But anyway, that is what we do, halacha l'maisa, although obviously it's a big machokas in what is considered to be the time. Oh, Shandel, you want to mute, sweetheart? I don't see how to mute you. Okay, continuing on. That was just a digression l'halacha. Now, we have another machokas like this. Suppose you get some wine before you said Birkat HaMazon, but you only have one cup. So what do you do then? You want to make a Birkat HaMazon on the wine. On the other hand, you want to drink your wine. What do you do? So Beit Shammai says, well, you say the bracha on the wine right now, and then afterwards you say Birkat HaMazon. Now, that's not quite clear what this means. Does it mean you drink the wine before Birkat HaMazon? So then, I mean, if you drank it, you're not going to be able to have any wine to make the bracha on, right? Okay, the Gemara is going to discuss this issue. Beit Hillel says, no. First you say Birkat HaMazon, then you say the bracha on the wine, and then you can drink the wine. That's not very clear what they're arguing about. Another din, which is the halacha of Amen. Onim Amen achar Yisrael amavarech, ve'in onim Amen achar Kuti amavarech, ad shishma kol habracha kula. Now, this again is one of those halachas that was said before the Gezerah that we're supposed to treat the Kutim like of the Avodah Zarah l'chol davar, in which case we would not say Amen to their bracha. But even before that Gezerah, the chashad that the Kuti was being mavarech the famous Yonah and Har HaGrizim, which had been buried there by, as Tosis points out, buried there by Yaakov Avinu when they hid all of the Avodah Zarah before the Knesset and Eretz Yisrael. So if you don't hear the whole bracha, you don't know what he said after Baruch Ata and who he made the Ata to. So if you hear the whole bracha and you know that he didn't insert any additional issues about the Avodah Zarah, then you could say Amen. But if not, you can't. Tana Rabbana. Now let's take a look at the explanations in the Braita of all of these various machlokasin between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, all of which concern Seder, the ongoing tremendous concern with Seder in Emunah. Dvorim shebein Beit Shammai Beit Hillel besuda. Number one, Beit Shammai mevorech al hayom v'chakach mevorech al hayayin. Now here, the Braita actually gives us some logic. And that is like this. After all, does that not make sense? Hayom gorem lo yayin sheyavo. And furthermore, kvar kidesh hayom v'adayin yayin lo ba. Why am I bringing wine here before I started my meal because I have a mitzvah of saying Kiddush. Okay, so then obviously the Kiddush is the main point. So how would I not say the Kiddush, Kiddush first, which is the Yom, and then say the Yain, not to mention the fact, what got here first, Shabbos or the wine? Shabbos. You know, there I was in Shul, and we were talking about Shabbos and everything, and I come home now, it's Shabbos. Respond to Shabbos first. Say your Kiddush. Then you're ready to drink your wine. Drink your wine. But don't make the broch on the wine first. Whereas Beis Hillel says, I say you make the broch on the wine first. Then you make the broch of the Yom. Why? Because I'm only saying Kiddush now because I have to say Kiddush again on the wine. I already said Kiddush when I daven Ma'ariv. I said Vayechulu. I made the broch on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Kedusha of Shabbos. What do I need to say it again now for? I'm only saying it because since I have a mitzvah to do it on the wine, so therefore I say it now on the wine. So, okay, then make the bracha on the wine because it's the yayin that's garam the kiddush. And then there's another issue. Which one is more tadir? Remember that frequency is to us fundamental to Seder. By the way, when we say frequency, tadirut, it's tadirut of mitzvah. It's not tadirut just of the general fact that I would often make a bracha of wine all on my own. I mean, that's not relevant. Who told you to drink wine? But there are so many occasions where I'm always making a bracha on wine because I'm making a bracha on wine at every wedding and every sort of mitzvah and so on and so forth and birkas hamazon. I mean, so I always have that bracha litzerich mitzvah. So then that means, as we learn out gufa from Asher Lo'olat HaTamid, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do that which is tamid first, just like the Eula and the Beis HaMikdash of the Boker comes first before all of the other things that we do. So therefore, I further argue, Tainis Beit Hillel, that in terms of Tidirut, it is a Birchat Hayayin. By the way, there's a air conditioning firm in Eretz Yisrael that is called Tadiran. And they put up big posters of advertising, which is Tadir V'She'eno Tadiran, Tadiran Kodem. That's how much awareness there is in the general populace of these inyanim of Chazal. You literally use it as an advertising slogan. It's mind-boggling. Okay, so that's the din, that Tadir Kodem. And more or less why we need two different svaras over here. And the halakhas Kedivrei Beit Hillel, which is sort of obvious, and it's pretty strange why we need to do that. I mean, we know that halakha is like Beit Hillel. So we're just going to look at these two things. Why did we need this extra point of Tadir V'She'eno Tadir? So Beit Hillel are telling Beit Shammai like this. Okay, so we explained to you why we think Yayin comes first. And you said two things. So you're going to turn around and say, okay, fine, that's one point in your favor. But we mentioned two completely different points. You've only got one point. We said it's the day that brings the Yayin, and we also said Shabbos came first. How are you going to answer the two reasons? Come along, Beit Hillel, to say, no, we also have two reasons. Because we're throwing in, besides the question of having already said Kiddush and Shul, we also have Birchat HaYayin Tadira and Birchat HaYom Eina Tadira, Tadir V'She'eno Tadir, Tadir Kedem. Okay, then you said Halachas Divrei Beit Hillel. Halachas always like Divrei Beit Hillel. So what in the world is the point of saying that? Didn't a Baskol come out where after all of those years, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel were arguing, and a Baskol comes out and says that the Halacha is always like Beit Hillel, so what do I need to know that for? So there's two possibilities. Maybe this Mishnah and this Braita was said before the Baskol, so therefore we had to Paskin and Halacha give Beit Hillel. Or it could be it was even Le'achar Baskol, but not everybody holds that a Baskol is meaningful, because Rabbi Yoshua says, Ein Mashgichin B'Baskol. Rabbi Yoshua stood up, remember the big bats back in Kalim, where we talked about Tanur Shalachnai, and over there also a Batkol came out and said, Halacha is always right, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua stood up and he said, we pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, and forget about the Batkol. We don't pay attention to Batkol, Lav Bashamayimi, so therefore maybe then this Batkol we also don't pay any attention to. Does this explains that this is a very special case. Doesn't mean we'll never pay attention to Batkol. Over there, the Shaila is to pay attention to a Batkol where it goes Kineged, the din of Halacha Karabim. We won't. Over here, we didn't have the Svara of the the halacha k'rabim, because actually Beit Hillel was the rabim. The only reason that we needed to paskin it was because of the fact that Beit Shammai is mechudadim, and therefore, since they were mechudadim, we thought that maybe we should paskin like Beit Shammai anyway. So we needed to know in that we paskin like Beit Hillel. Okay, question is whether our Mishnah represents the real Svar Beit Shammai. Is it true that Beit Shammai really says to say the bracha on the yom before the yayin? What about the braita? It says like this. A guy comes into his house after Shabbos. He's supposed to say the bracha over the yayin, and then the ma'or, and then the besamim, and then he says havdalah. Now, this is very weird. Why, when it comes to Kiddush, would the Kiddush come first? And when it comes to havdalah, all the other things come first, and then we say the havdalah at the end. And if he only has one cup of wine and he has to say Birkat HaMazon, then it's better for him to wait to say Avdolah until after he finishes the meal. Now, this might mean that he was still in the middle of Seuda Shlishit. Okay? We're going to see later on that actually Beit Shammai holds it's better to eat a meal before saying Avdolah, even if that's your Malava Malka, if you're not going to have a wine in order to say the Birkat HaMazon. Okay, so why would it be that when it comes to Kiddush, Beit Shammai is ready to say that the Kiddush, the Yom, comes first, and when it comes to Avdolah, we say the Yom, Amavdim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the union of the Yom, the Kiddush, after all, Kiddush and Avdolah, the same mitzvah. And why would he say it the other way? Wait 1 second, says Gemara. Who the heck told you that this is Beit Shammai? I don't see it. It doesn't say anywhere, Divrei Beit Shammai. So why do you think it's Beit Shammai? Maybe it's Beit Hillel. Can't be Beit Hillel. Lo zagadaitach. Because remember, it says over here in the Braita, when it was talking about the order, now, we were talking about first make the bracha on the or, it says ma'or, and then on the besamim. Who's the man, the Omer, who says first the ma'or and then the besamim? That was Beit Shammai. Because it says in the Braita, now, this is actually the other opinion that we mentioned that we're going to find out. And if we're going to ask in a minute, I mean, why say Reb Yehuda's opinion of Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel? Well, wait a second for that. But anyway, the way Reb Yehuda understands the Machlokas is that nobody argued. Of course, you first say Birkat HaMazon. The last thing that you do is Havdalah. The only Machlokas between Beit Shammai Beit Hillel was the question of what comes first, Borei Morei Ha'esh or Borei Minei B'Samim. That was the question. Beit Shammai is the one who says, make the bracha over the Esh, and then make the bracha of the B'Samim. And Beit Hillel says, make the bracha on the B'Samim, and then over the Esh. And over here it said, Beferish, make the bracha on the Ma'or, and then make the bracha on the B'Samim. So it can't be Beit Hillel, it's got to be Beit Shammai. So therefore, I'm asking you, so now explain to me, why when it comes to Kiddush, does Beit Shammai say we make the bracha on the Yom first? When it comes to Avdolah, we make the bracha on the Yom last. Now, hold on a second, you're still jumping to conclusions. Why in the world would this be Beit Shammai according to Rabbi Yehuda? Who says that this is Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe this is going Aliba Rabbi Meir. And according to Rabbi Meir, it works out beautifully, according to Beit Hillel. Mimai to Beit Shammai Aliba the Rabbi Yehuda, Dilmai Beit Hillel Aliba the Rabbi Meir. Because remember that the Machlokas, like our Mishnah, which turns out is Rabbi Meir Shita, says that Aliba de Beit Hillel is Ma'or first and then Besamim, in which case it works out fine. It's Rabbi Yehuda who says that it's Besamim and then Ma'or. No, it can't be Rabbi Meir either, you see, because Lo Sakadaitach, because over here, it says in our Mishnah, and the Mishnah is not Mishnah's Rabbi Meir, that Beit Shammai Omrim, Neru Mazon, Besamim, Vahavdalah, Ubeit Hillel Omrim, Neru Besamim, Mazon, Vahavdalah. So according to Rabbi Meir, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel hold that you don't say Mazon first. Neither of them hold that. And over here in the Braita, it says, Imeinu Alakos Echad, leave it until after you eat Birkat HaMazon and say everything after it, after the Birkat HaMazon. So it's got to be the only one that works out according to is Beit Shammai, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So now it is Beit Shammai. Can we please get to my question? You've been fighting and fighting and fighting. I've got a question. What's the answer? Beit Shammai essentially reverses his opinion about what comes first, the Yom or the yayin. When it comes to kiddush, he says the yom comes, the yayin comes first. And when it, the yom comes first, when it comes to avdola, he says the yayin comes first. How do you explain that? Says the Gemara, well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? I mean, Beit Shammai simply holds, when you're talking about coming into Shabbos, so you're, that's supposed to show that you're excited to come into Shabbos, and that therefore you want to talk about the Kedusha of Shabbos right away. But when you're leaving Shabbos, the more you can push off that horrible moment in which you have to say, I'm Avdol Ben Kedush Lechol, oy vavoy, and we're feeling terrible about that, we push it off. So therefore, Shani Yuli Yuma Me'afuka Yuma. When it comes to bringing in Shabbos, the Yuli Yuma, so then the earlier you bring in Shabbos, obviously the better. When it comes to kissing Shabbos goodbye, so Me'afuka Yuma Kama D'Ba'achrin Le'Adiv, in order that it shouldn't look like, oh boy, we're so happy to get rid of Shabbos. You know, like those minyonim that are keeping the cigarette in the back pocket while they're davening 20 minutes before Shkia, you know. V'Savri Beit Shammai Birkat HaMazon to Unakos. But wait a second. This must mean, if Beit Shammai is saying, look, eat, and then say Avdola. Well, you're not even allowed to eat before Avdola. So it must be that it's so important to have the kosher bracha. This is from the Braita, not from the Mishnah, because the Mishnah could have been talking about continuing a shlishis. Here it's talking about after you already finished, you came back from shul, and you're starting to eat now again. So that means that it's kedai to eat before Havdalah, because otherwise you're not going to be able to mekayim the chiyuv of having a kosher bracha. But that's not true, because in the Mishnah it says, if yayin, and here's we finally get to understanding that part, if you get a cup of wine before Birkat HaMazon, so according to Beit Shammai, if you only have one kos, Beit Shammai says, say the bracha of the yayin. Later you'll say your Birkat HaMazon. I mean, I'm assuming if you're saying the bracha on the yayin, you're going to drink the yayin. But if you drink the yayin, then you're not going to have your Birkat HaMazon. So make up your mind. Is it a chiyuv to have Birkat HaMazon on yayin or not? Says the Gemara, no. Doesn't mean you drink it. You say the bracha and you leave it. And then after Birkat HaMazon, then you're holding the yayin that you had said the bracha over, and then you would be able to drink it. But you're not allowed to do that. Oh, my mom, she told me, make a bracha. You have to eat, drink some of it. You can't just make a bracha and leave it lying in the air. You do. You take a little bit. What do you mean you take a little bit? If you take a little bit, you're not allowed to use the cup for a bracha, darn it, because it's called tamo pugmo. Once you drink out of a cup, that cup cannot be used for a bracha anymore with that wine. No, you didn't drink it out of the cup. You poured a little on a finger, you know, and you licked your finger. But you didn't take anything out of the cup itself. Iva Amar Mar, but if that's the case, if you only had that cup and you poured a little bit out on your finger, you don't have a full cup. So you don't have a shear. And you said, Kosho Baruch Hatzarek Shear. So now how are we going to do with that? Apochot Lemishiure. No, wait a minute. You started off with a cup that held more than a shear. So now you have a full cup that it is a shear. But you said there's only one kos. Mashma, exactly what you need. No, it's not. I only have enough of one kos plus. I don't have two. That's the point. But I may have more than the absolute minimum. So trei lo havi but michad nafish. But wait a minute. What about the price of Rabbi Chiya? Beit Shammai says, you're mevorech al hayayin, and you drink the cup of wine. He says, beferish, drink it up, and then you say Birkat HaMazon. So obviously, it's not that you're going to need the cup for Birkat HaMazon. That's nuts. You're right. I give in. It must be that the Shtrei Tanoia Alibet Beit Shammai, one of the Shitas Alibet Beit Shammai holds that Tzricha Kos is absolute Chiyav, and the other one holds it's nice to have a Kos. Let's move on to the second Machlokas. Beit Shammai says, first you do Netilat Yadayim before you pour the wine into your cup and make Kiddush. Whereas Beis Hillel says, first make Kiddush, then go ahead and wash your hands. Okay, what is all of this about? Let's take a look at the price. Beit Shammai says, first you wash your hands, then you pour your kiddush. Why? Because she'imata omer mozgin et hakos tchila. Imagine what's going to happen. You pour the wine into your kiddush cup, okay? What might happen at that point is that if you're holding the cup before you wash netilat, you're dying. Then, Gezeira Shemi Yitamu Mashkin Shachor HaYakos, Machmat Yadav. What's going to happen? Your hands are considered to be Stam Yadayim. Stam yadayim are tmeot. If yadayim are tmeot, if there's any mashkin on the outside of the cup, then if you touch it, you will make that cup tame. Remember, this is all part of what we were dealing with in Kalim, and that is that there's a din of mashkim chayzim liyos tefila, that the Rabbonin made a gezeira, that wherever you have liquids, first of all, no matter what it is that they touch, even if they touch a sheni, a shlishi in certain cases, they will turn into a risha. And if they do turn into risha, even though normally kalim cannot be mekabel tuma from anything but an av hatuma, but when it comes to mashkin, we have a problem. The problem is that some mashkim are an av hatuma. Suppose Anita has a little bit of urine on her fingers that she didn't wash off. So then she's going to be metame things midiraisa because those are ma'ayanot, right? So the possibility of getting confused between wet hands that are actually metame kalim and wet hands that are not metame kalim is very big. And because of that, they made a gezeira wherever you've got wet that are touched by hands, that wet can be metame kalim. And therefore, says Beit Shammai, if you're not going to wash your hands, and there's some kind of liquid now from on the, maybe if you poured your wine a little bit spilled on the side, maybe you washed out the cup and instead of just drying the outside properly, it was still a little damp. So if you didn't do netilas yadayim, then you're going to end up being metame the kos shel brocha, and therefore you must do the netilas yadayim on your hands first. You can't use, as we're going to see later, according to Beit Shammai, you can't use a cup with the, even though the din is, remember, that because of this is a weird gezeira, because whoever heard of a mashkin being a tamei kalim, it's outrageous, especially when, I mean, there was nothing that was tamei as an avatumi here at all. So in order, remember, the Rabbanan, whenever they made a gezeira, that is something that could cause people to end up burning Truma or Kadesh, believing that it's really Tameh, they did something nutty in the halacha in order that people should stop and think, how is that possible? And then they would realize it must be that the Rabbanan put in an automatic reminder that this is not a D'oraisa. What's the automatic reminder in this case? A number of things. First of all, if mashkin or metame kalim, they are only metame the outside of the kli. They're not metame the handle, they're not metame the inside. This we're talking about even if it's a metal kli. So you've got a silver becher, which what, the outside is tummy, the inside isn't tummy. How's that possible? Oh, it's a derabbanan trick to make us remember that this is not a real tuma, because such a thing is absolutely impossible. Okay, so because of that, even though only the outside is Tameh, but you're not allowed, according to Beit Shammai, to use a kos whose outside is Tameh either, which we're about to see, because of the fact that it might be end up being Metameh, the Yayin. So Beit Shammai holds, therefore, first do Netilas Yadayim, then your hands are Tohar, and then even if the cup is damp on the outside, they're not going to be touching anything that will be Metameh then. Yes, I don't understand. If we're concerned with Tumas Yadayim, why do we need mashkin? Wouldn't the yadayim themselves be metame the cup? No, says the Gemara, of course not. Yadayim are shniot. Bichlal, what you're talking about is nonsense. Besides the fact that it's nonsense because this entire thing requires the gezeira of mashkin tameim, it is total nonsense because yadayim are not tameos. Not in terms of chulin. There's no such thing. So since yadayim are only tamei midrabanan, and the Rabbanan turned the Yadayim into a din of Sheni Betuma, and we're dealing with Chulin, there's no possible way for Sheni to be Oser Shlishi, anything, unless you get to this new Gezerah of Mashkin. Okay, so then that's the whole point, is the Gezerah of Mashkin. Ain't Sheni Oser Shlishi Bechulin Bechalal, Ela Yaday Mashkin. So there isn't even any Tuma there vis-a-vis the Chulin. Beit Hillel, on the other hand, say that you actually do Mezigas HaKotz first, and then you do Netilas Yadayim. Why? Continues the Brisa to explain Beit Hillel why. Say Beit Hillel, because if you tell him to do Netilas Yadayim first, so then what might happen is that he might not dry his hands fully. And then the water that's on his hands will become tame from the cup, machmat hakos. And again, this will be dependent on whether you're allowed to use a kos who's outside his tame. And later on, we'll see that yes, indeed, Beis Hillel says you are allowed to use a kos who's outside his tame. So therefore, by the same token, if your hands are going to be wet, then it's going to destroy your netilat yadayim, because the wet on your hands that you have left over from the tilat yadayim will be metame your yadayim, in which case you'll need to start the whole thing over anyway. Now, Tosis points out that lamaisa, if you're really worried about his hands being wet, so then there's nothing anyway, you're going to be in big trouble, because maybe he didn't dry his hands off afterwards. And you'll have the same problem again. Even if you touch anything afterwards, it's going to ruin your netilas yadayim. It says Tosfos, nobody eats his bread with wet hands. For if you know that you're washing on the bread, so then you dry your hands. But as far as the way that Beit Shammai is saying, first wash your hands before you do the Kiddush, people are not going to be mocked, but on perfect drying of their hands to hold a cup. And therefore, because of that, Beit Shammai is a little concerned that it's going to wreck the Netilas Yadayim completely. Ask the Gemara, but if that's a problem, I'll leave it to Beit Hillel, then why aren't they worried about the fact that the cup is tame and will make your hands anyway tame, midrabanan, right? No, there's no such thing. A kli cannot be metame even the hands. In other words, the halacha that yadayim need netila is only where it's possible that a kli could be metame yadayim midrabanan. Yes, if the kli is really tame, metame min asheretz. But remember that I mentioned to you earlier, there are several tricks that the Rabbanan put into the din of the concept of the mashkin. So normally, a kli, which is only mekabel tuma through the halacha of chayzerim mashkin, liyos rishayin, since it is not really tameh, the Rabbanan made a takona that it should not be metame yadayim in order to keep it clear that it's a tuma de Rabbanan and not a tuma de Raisa. So the only time that yadayim would become tame from a kli would be if the kli was tame midiraisa, such as touching a sheretz or something. That's fine. But in this case, without the mashkin being there, there would be no tumas yadayim either. Ask the Gemara, but why doesn't the cup make the wine tame? So how can you drink from a cup which is tame on the outside? No, remember, we're talking over here with a cup that isn't really tame. Only its outside is tame because the tuma was a tuma's mashkin. So we're talking about a klisha nitmo achorav b'mashkin askinan. And over there we have the special halacha. The inside is tahar, the outside is tame, as it says in the wonderful Mishnah that we're so familiar with, even though we haven't gotten up to there in Caleb, but we've read it many, many times in the context of the other dinim. Kli shenitmu achorav b'mashkin, only achorav is tameh. The outside is tameh, the inside, the ogen, which is like a rim or goes around it, the ozno, which is a handle that you have that's shaped like an ear, like in a coffee cup, and the yodav, which is a long handle, like on a frying pan. All of those things remain tahar, even though that's nonsense, but it's a special nonsense to remind you that it's nonsense, so that you won't burn truma and kachim on it. And if the toch was tame, so then we base the whole concept on a comparison to klicheres. So if the toch becomes tame, then the whole thing becomes tame. Okay, but I mean, the bottom line over here, what are they arguing about? I mean, both of these approaches make sense. So what's the machlokas really between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? Ah, Beit Shammai says you're not allowed to use a kli that the outside is tame. So therefore, why is that? Because we're afraid that some of the wine may spill out and then become tame. So because of that, he made a gezerah that it's since you're not allowed to use that kind of thing, because what if a little of the wine spills out and then it would be metame your yadayim if the outside was had some drops of wine on it. So you can't use it, even though it's only the outside because of the nitzotzot. So therefore, you have to be careful not to pour water, not to pour wine before you do the tilas yadayim, because then it'll ruin your yadayim anyway. V'lekha l'migzar, and there's no point to be gozer shema yitam ha-mashkin shir yadayim because remember that since you're not allowed to use a kos, that's tame, so what's the problem? That what? You won't dry your hands after the tilos of dayim, and if you don't dry your hands, what's wrong? You're touching a tahor kos because you couldn't have used the kos that isn't tahor. So of course, like a lamigza shem yitamu mashkim de shem yadayim bakos, and therefore, obviously, the correct behavior is to make sure that your yadayim are tahorot, and you don't end up ruining everything because of these nitzotzot. Whereas Beit Hillel holds, no, you're actually allowed to use a kli. They're not worried about nitzotzot. If it's only the outside of the kli that's tameh, they hold that nitzotzot are not something that happens that often. They have to worry about it. And therefore, since the outside of the cup possibly is tameh, you should bedafka not do netilas yadayim before, because if you don't dry your hands properly, then that's going to ruin your netilas yadayim, because your yadayim will become tameh from touching the cup. Okay, then furthermore, the reason that you have to first pour and drink before you wash is because if you wash first, you're going to have a big hafsek between the washing and the eating the bread. And the din is, take kifnei netilat yadayim seuda. Immediately after doing your netilat yadayim is when you're supposed to be eating your bread. Why do I need to mention another point, Bichlal? Because Beit Hillel said to Beit Shammai, let me tell you something. Listen, gentlemen. Let's say you say, we don't make any sense. We don't make any sense because you're not allowed to use a kli that is tamei on the outside. Why? Because it needs tzotzot. So I'm asking you to put the two into perspective, okay? On the one hand, you got this weird concern of nitzotzot, which we hold is weird. And look at it, what it is that you're doing because of it. You're making a takona of creating a se'uda where you're going to have a hefsek between the netilas yadayim and the se'uda. Is it worth it? Shouldn't you take into consideration the greater importance of the need for takeif on the netilas yadayim se'uda than to worry about your silly concerns of nitzotzot? That's what we're saying. So even so, kasuina machmas nitzotzot, afilo achia adifa. Even if you're worried about it, this is a better thing, because it, at least this way, take it until Yadayim Seuda, and that's the halacha. Those are the first two machlokas. Okay, the third machlokas, and that was that, where do you put your wet napkin? It's incredible how pedantic these things seem. And then when you examine the issues, it's just incredible. They go all the way back down to the questions of Das, your relationship to Tumah v'Tahira, how each thing interrelates with every other thing, whether it's the Mashkin and the Kos and the Netila and your Yadayim, and what is considered to be a Gezer, Drabon, and a Diraisa, Truma, v'Kachim. I mean, Mamish, your head is swimming from this daf. There's so many issues. It's so absolutely incredible. You sit down at that seuda, and you're surrounded by kachim and by tyrus and by Zroyim, and like, oh my God, you can't do a thing in life without being completely immersed in the most incredible things. So what's the difference where you put your napkin, for God's sake, right? Amazing thing. Tana Rabbanan, there's a tremendous difference. Because Beit Shammai says, wipe your hands on the napkin, put the napkin on the table, because if you do what Beit Hillel says, it's a disaster. Because if you'll put it on the cushion, so then what if there's water, which is very common, obviously, I would wipe my hands on a towel, there might be enough water on there to be metame, and therefore we're afraid that the mashkin in the mappa might end up becoming tameim because of the cushion that you're sitting on, because you certainly are allowed to sit on a chair or a cushion that's tameh. And then if you'll use that napkin to wipe your fingers between two courses, you're going to end up being metameh your yadayim if there's enough water on them, and you need to redo netilas yadayim, you won't even realize it. So you're going to mess up the whole sunnah. Wait, says the Gemara, wait, if that's true, so then wouldn't the cushion make the napkin itself tameh? Why does he say only because there's water? No, for God's sake, of course not. Man, you guys are really a bunch of amaratzim when it comes to din of a tumah v'tahiras over here. You know, what are you, just starting shas? Ain't kli metameh kli. There's no such thing as a kli, a cushion that could be metameh. A kli that is not wet through mashkin. That whole thing is only a derabbanan. Well, wait a minute. I mean, if the guy is on a tameh cushion, why isn't he tameh from the cushion? Guys, in kli metameh adam, because it's also a different halacha. An adam is only mekabel tumah from an avatuma, even though it is certainly possible. Midrabbanan, if you have a mashkin situation that could be metame your yadayim, you'll have to be careful not to touch the cushion itself if the cushion, in fact, is it got wet and is metame as a rishon. Okay? Anyway, Beit Hillel comes back and he says, no, put the napkin down dafka on your cushion, because if you put it on the table, you're going to cause more problems. Because then the mashkin that are in your cushion may become tame because the table itself might be tame, because according to Beit Hillel, we're going to see that you're allowed to eat on a table, which is a sheni v'tuma. And in that case, then we're afraid that they will become tame machmas ha-shulchan. But if you've got water that is tame, they will become, they're able to be metame everything that's on the table. They're metame the ochlin on the table itself. Wait, I understand. If the shulchan is a sheni, then why do we have to worry about water? Why isn't the shulchan itself metame the ochlin? Because ein sheni osa shlishi b'chulin, remember? You can't make things, even mashkin, even ochlin, you can't make them tame unless there's mashkin. Because mashkin midrabbanan or kozrim liot rishon. Okay, so again, I mean, what's the bottom line? So what are they arguing in? Everybody's making sense over here. Well, the machlokas is that Beit Shammai holds, you're not allowed to use a shulchan that is a sheni l'tumah. Why is that? Because what if you eat truma? What if you don't eat chulin? It's true that ein sheni osa shlishi b'chulin. Well, what if your kohen is eating truma? So because of that, we make a gzeira. Nobody can use, says Beit Shammai, a shulchan which is a sheni. Because what if they didn't pay attention and they invite a kohen in to eat and he puts down his truma on the table? Whereas Beit Hillel is every muter lishtamesh b'shulchan sheni, because anybody who is eating truma, you don't have to worry about him. Believe me, he is very, very careful about where he puts his truma. And ochlei truma or zrizim, you don't have to worry about him. He'll take care of himself. And then there's another point, says Beit Hillel. There's no such thing as midoraisa, putting your hands through water for chulin. Meaning what? What is this? What's going on over here? What's he saying here? My davar acher. What I know what you're thinking. You're thinking like this. You'll say to us, how come we're worried about food, right? So we said, don't put it on the table because you'll end up being metame the food. And over there, we're worried that the mashkin and the napkin is going to be metame the food. Why aren't we worried that the mashkin and the napkin is going to be metame your yadayim? I mean, if you're worried that there's going to be tame mashkin, worry about the yadayim and the need for the tilas yadayim. You're right. We're not saying that there is not a problem, but this is the most important issue, much more important than the yadayim, because the whole concept of the Tilas Yadayim is a brand new idea. Where are we getting the Tilas Yadayim Achulin? Whoever heard of such a thing? So the Midiraisa, you're doing something that makes absolutely no sense. Hands are not a thing. They're either your body is tame or it's not tame. You can't have hands that are tame. So that whole thing, it seems to be pure fantasy. Since ain't Tilas Yadayim L'chulin min HaTorah at all, isn't it better that if you're taking a chance, it's better that the chance should be that Yadayim, which don't have any meaning, Midiraisa, ain't them Iker Midiraisa at all, that they would become Tomei, rather than to be Metame Ochlin, where Ochlin, the concept of Tumas Ochlin, exists Midiraisa, not in this particular case. Okay, what about the fourth Machlokas, where Beit Shammai says, get rid of all the crumbs from the table or from the floor before you go ahead and you do Mayim Achroni. What is that arguing about? Okay, the bright. Beit Shammai Aimrim Bechamdim Et Abayit V'Achakach Notim L'Yadayim, because if you let him do Netilas Yadayim first, then he may spill some of that Mayim Achronim on the crumbs, and he's going to be over on destroying food. You're not allowed to be Moes Ochlin, you're Mafsi the Ochlin. But don't do Netilat Yadayim first. Why? Because some take this out because it seems to be completely repetitive. It's not, however, necessarily completely repetitive. I'm just sorry I'm taking so long over here. Maybe I shouldn't go into such detail. But it may be pointing out that the only issue over here is that Beit Beit Shammai says, don't do it the other way. It could be that that means that Beit Hillel says, we don't care which way, as opposed to the other cases where they are arguing which has to come first. Maybe I'll leave it at Beit Hillel. There's no Seder, in which case, I'll leave it at Beit Shammai, Netilat Yadayim, Beit Shammai, Tchila. That you can't do. Beit Shammai has a Seder. Why? Because of the Pirurim. But Beit Hillel says, well, what's the problem? Anyway, your waiter is a Talmud Chacham, isn't he? So he knows the difference. He's going to take away anything that are the size of a kizayis, and therefore he only leaves these little crumbs, and there's no iser in being matame, a little crumb, not matame, ruining it with the water, because pirurim she'en bam kizayis, if it's a small piece, there is no iser of destroying eichlin. That din of being careful with food is only if there's a sheer kizayis. Maika miflage. And over here, the underlying point is the question of, is your waiter a Talmud Chacham, or is your waiter, may even be a Kohen, who's bringing you a big drink, and he's trying to feed it to you over a screen, is he a Talmud Chacham, or is he an Am Haaretz? So Beit Hillel holds, you're not allowed to have a waiter who's an Am Haaretz. Therefore, there's no problem destroying Oakland, whereas Beit Shammai says you are allowed to use a waiter as an Am Haaretz. Says Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, you should know. We've got a lot of machlokas in over here, all in one area. In the whole parak, we paskin like Beit Hillel, except for one case, this case, with halakas like Beit Shammai, and indeed we paskin like this. Namely, you've got to make sure that you do not have crumbs of the size of a kizayis around your mayim achronim. And if they're still on the table, push them to the other side of the table. When you pour your mayim achronim, since you don't come to be mafsid, a kizayit. Where in this case, the halacha is like Beit Shammai, which is very strange. And in fact, Rabbi Oshaya had the girsa in absolutely the opposite, that it was Beit Shammai who says that first you wash mayim achronim because you must use a Talmud Chacham as a waiter. And therefore it would come out that we're pasking dafka like Beit Hillel and not like Beit Shammai. Okay, Beit Shammai, the fifth machlokas. Beit Shammai says, you say Birkas HaMozen and Avdolah over the same kos, then you have to do first the ner, and then the mazon, and so on. Now, it happened, and I mentioned to you that we're going to find out that this girsa in our Mishnah is not so hatsitatsi, because it once came out that Ravuna Bar Yehuda comes to Rava's house, and he sees Rava in this situation, making Havdalah, and he says the Bisamim, and then he says the Ma'or, and Rav Huna, which is what we do, of course, and Rav Huna says to him, wait a minute, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, neither of them held to do that. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel weren't arguing about the Ma'or. If for sure the Ma'or, they said, comes first before the Besamim, read the Mishnah. Ditznan, Beit Shammai omrim ner umazon besamim v'avdalah, and Beit Hillel omrim ner besamim umazon v'avdalah, but they're only arguing about the relationship of the mazon, but they're not arguing about the fact that you must say Bori Morea Eish before you say the bracha of Minei B'Samim, right? So what are you doing? You're not going either according to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And Rava said, may I continue, please? You did a very nice quote. Let me continue. Oni Rava Basra, yes, Zu Divrei Rebbe Meir, Avo Rebbe Yehuda, Emer. Actually, there never was such a machlokas. Lo nechlik Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. They actually agreed that the mazon comes first. The havdola comes last. What is the machlokas, as we saw before? Does the bracha on the ner come first, or does the bracha on the besamim come first? According to Beit Shammai, first we do the bracha on the ner and then on the besamim. And according to Beit Hillel, we do the bracha over the besamim and then over the ner. Now you say, why do I follow Rabbi Yehuda's version? Because Rabbi Yochanan said, Nagua am kebeit Hillel, aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. That is the minhag all over Yisrael, and I am doing like the minhag. First to do the bracha on the besamim, and then to do the bracha on the ner. And then the sixth machlokas in the Mishnah was, according to Beit Shammai, it's borei ma'or ha'esh, and according to Beit Hillel, bora ma'or ha'esh, and according to Beit Hillel, it's borei ma'orei ha'esh. So says Rava, look, remember we had the business with hamotzi, whether motzi lechem and art is definitely good. We say hamotzi, it's the same issue over here, Taina's Rava. Everybody agrees that legabi the question of the meaning of bara, when we're making a bracha on the ish, we want to talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's provision, initial provision of ish in the Bria. So everybody is moda that the word bara refers to the past, and therefore that's what we want to talk about. God created fire. So kuli amalo pligi de bara mashman, that for sure is good. The question is whether borei is good. Because when it comes to borei, Beit Shammai says, you can't say borei. Borei is mashma, an ongoing process which is going to continue in the future, as if to say that God will be creating fire. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did create fire. Whereas Beit Hillel says, borei also can mean focusing on the past. Says the Gemara, that's ridiculous. Must Rav Yosef understand? I will show you three separate psukim that the word borei refers back to my separations, okay? And therefore, it makes no sense for Beit Shammai to argue on that. It says beferish, yotzer or uvorei choshech. All right, what does that mean? That's in my separations. Yotzer harim uvorei ruach, referring to my separations. Borei hashamayim venoteihem, okay? What is that talking about? My separations. So please, don't give me this nonsense that borei wouldn't be a reference back to my separation. Of course it is. Therefore, I have a different explanation. Actually, they're not even arguing about it. All Amar of Yosef, both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are agreeing. You can use borei, you can use bara. The only real issue over here is mo'orei ha'esh, or Ma'or Ha'esh. Beit Shammai holds, we only look at a single light when we look at fire. Chod Anohura Ikim Anura. There's one light that we're referring to, and refer to that one light. Beit Hillel holds, there's all kinds of different colors. You have to talk about the various different colors in the lights. Tanya Namiyachi, what Rav Yosef suggested is actually a brisa, and that is Amrula and Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. How can you say ma'or if harbe ma'orot yesh ba'esh? So obviously, that was the issue. Now, there are mefarshim that explain very beautifully the machlokas over here. It's not that we just threw in borei and bara, but that was completely irrelevant, and it happened to be that Beit Shammai was talking about borei and bara, and Beit Hillel was talking about borei. And obviously, I mean, you're not going to contradict your senses. What do you mean there's only one color in fire? Ask any child to look at his mother's stove, and he'll tell you how many different colors you could see in there. So, I mean, what is this supposed to mean? There's one color. So, obviously, the point over here is that what is the main issue we're referring to? Are we referring to the nature of energy itself? This is what Beit Shammai holds. We are referring to a primal energy. To talk about different colors, which is something to do with human brains and the way that they perceive different frequencies, is nonsensical if you're coming to make a bracha on the essential bria of energy. And therefore, what you want to talk about is not the silly little fire that you have on your Havdalah candle. You want to talk about the original bria, and therefore I'm stressing to you, bara, that original bria was ma'or. Okay. But Shambasila holds, no, the whole point is that the bracha is on your relationship to your silly little candle. And therefore, it's better to say borei, which is the ongoing process of bria, and over there it would be ma'orei. Very beautiful approach. Okay, and one last thing over here. We do not say a bracha on a candle or on a besamim. Now, of goyim, why? So I could say I understand why a candle, because this candle, the goy has lit it maybe on Shabbos. I mean, it was not Shavas, but to use a candle that was doing all kinds of antithetical to Shabbos things all day long, and now it's going to be the candle that I'm using to celebrate the end of Shabbos is weird. But what's wrong with using the besomim of a goy? Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav, we're not talking about stam, some it belonged to a goy. We're talking about Saturday Night Live, baby. And that is a party. And at a party, all they do is think about Avodah Zarah. That's what it is. So it's a mesibat of Dei Kochavim Askinan. And over there, you know, they always throw in a little bit of religion by having a picture of a cross up on the walls, which allows you to do whatever you want through papal special dispensation. And because of that, we look at the spices as having been brought to Avodah Zarah, and stam mesibat Avodah Kochavim is for Avodah Kochavim. No, that cannot be the pshat, because the next part of the Mishnah mentioned separately and do not use the Besomim or the Ner of Avodah Zarah. So how could the original concern of Goyim be Avodah Zarah? So mashma that in the Resha, Ulav Avodah Zarah Skina, says Reb Chanina Misura, you're absolutely correct. And the fact is that the closing of the Mishnah is the reasoning for the first part of the Mishnah. Matam Ka'amar, why do we not say a bracha on Neran Besomim of Avodah Kochavim? Because Stam Misibat of the Kochavim is Avodah Zarah, and you're not allowed to be Nene from Avodah Zarah, which is the closing of the Mishnah. And now, Hakol Sharir V'Kayam.